There is one other person that we need to thank this evening, who, in spite of all of the gifts and presentations, always seems to get overlooked at the beginning of Christmas Eve service, and that's our congregational president, Jim. This past year, I've taken his advice and gone away a couple of times on Sundays, as he's urged me to do, and he's done very well in my absence, so much so that I wonder if maybe I should even come back. I mean, that's pretty well. And and I still remember how much it meant to me, boy, 5 years ago, when I was out for 3 months, and Jim had no idea that was coming. And he and Tammy managed to keep things going, and Jim kept the congregation going. He was at the helm, and I appreciated it then, and I appreciate his steadfastness today, too. So let's give Jim a round of applause. I do have one correction, and I feel I better say this or the ceiling might fall in. As much as I am honored to be your pastor, I am not the reason we are here. We are here to worship Jesus, God in the flesh. A reminder that God loved us so much that he gave everything he had in order to enter into the darkness of our world, give us reason to hope, and give us the possibility of healing. Not always healing of the body, because our bodies will tire and will one day wear out, but a healing of the soul that goes deeper than any need that the body has. And so let's begin our celebration this evening by standing and inviting one another to see and to worship the Savior whose birth we're celebrating. Let's sing together, O Come, All Ye Faithful. People find joy in many different aspects of Christmas. For some, it's the anticipation of giving and receiving gifts. For some, November and December have been a feast of movies, especially if you get the Hallmark Network and the Hallmark Movie Network. 24-hour-a-day Christmas movies. Other people love the music and the decorations. Some love the music so much they can actually be heard playing and singing along to Christmas carols even in the middle of July. But there is a danger here, and the danger is this. It is possible that the way we celebrate Christmas may crowd out the why of Christmas. For some, Christmas becomes so attached to certain sights and sounds and smells and feelings and people that if something is missing, a certain movie, a particular kind of cookie, or a certain friend, Christmas just doesn't seem like Christmas. Can it be Christmas without watching what Tony DiNozzo on NCIS says is the greatest Christmas movie ever, It's a Wonderful Life? Can it be Christmas without the movie and the song White Christmas? And can it be Christmas for the last 60 years without watching a Charlie Brown Christmas? Is it Christmas without a real tree or a batch of snickerdoodles? Is it Christmas without children, without a cherished loved one? Indeed, there are people who have celebrated Christmas all their lives, but have gotten so caught up in the trappings of Christmas, they never truly understood what the season is all about. The Bible tells us that until we come to know this man whose birth we celebrate tonight, all we will see in Christmas is the sights and sounds, the aromas and the tastes of the season. We are told that before we come to know who Jesus is, before we order our lives around him, the God of this world blinds our eyes and our minds to keep us from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We may talk about Jesus, but somehow he gets lost amid the tinsel and the celebrations. Or others, finding nothing worth believing in, tire of the celebrations, and find only emptiness and chaos, and become either angry or depressed. My prayer is that here, this evening, we might see Jesus for who he is, and understand what his coming means, and know the deep, deep joy of knowing him. A joy that expresses itself in cookies and presents and decorations and movies and gatherings, but a joy that also goes deeper than any of this. Let's hear the story again and ask God to be sure that the veil is taken away, that we might appreciate what Christmas really means.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for what which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus.
Emmanuel, God with us. If we do not recognize the face of God in that manger, If we do not realize that here, for the only time in human history, God became a man and shared our burdens and our joys as one of us, if we fail to recognize this, then we are missing out on what Christmas is really all about. It is the prayer of the ages, dating back to the outside of the Garden of Eden, where our first parents, because of their own willfulness, came to know what life without God was like. They who had once known life with God. Now for us, life without God is the reality. While fellowship with God for ages was only a whisper of hope deep within us, a hope for something that we don't know but that we realize we are without. As we sing our next hymn, perhaps we will sense the longing of a world without God, and especially of a nation who once knew God as a guiding pillar of cloud or fire, as bread from heaven and water from the rock, but now are left only with a promise that for 4,000 years has remained unfulfilled. Let us stand and sing together, O Come, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel,
Emmanuel, God with us. Can it really be any more than a dream? For we have not changed. We are still as self-serving and as willful as our first parents. And God does not change. That is part of what being God means. If sin separated our first parents from God, if sin kept Israel from realizing her potential, if sin continues to keep even the church from knowing the full wonder of God in Jesus Christ, how can we be celebrating God with us just because of the birth of a baby boy? Even in this child, the glory of God is veiled. If it were not, his glory would have undone his parents and those who visited him in Bethlehem. How can it be that God would not only come to us, but live with and among us? How can we live in fellowship, even in union, with a God whose purity threatens to destroy every hint of sin? As we consider the meaning of Christmas, we soon discover that we cannot understand the message of this baby's birth unless we consider also the meaning of his life, and that means understanding his death, as he said long ago to a man who, like us, simply wanted to know who this Jesus is and why his coming is such good news.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everything that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life."
A man comes to Jesus in darkness, just as we came this evening to church in darkness. This time, Jesus is no longer a baby in a manger. He's not even a young child in a house, as he was for the wise men. He's a man. He's a teacher. He's a healer. Yet it is not his healing or his teaching that he points to as the essence of his life, but an event yet to come, his death on a cross. "I must be lifted up," he says, "so that whoever believes in me will have life." Did Nicodemus see the light in the darkness of that evening? Or was he as confused when he left Jesus as he was when he came? And when Jesus did die, lifted up on the cross, did Nicodemus finally understand? For God is patient, and he works gently in the hearts of those who keep seeking to help them find the meaning in the message. After all, it's not by our asking or by our seeking or by our knocking that Jesus enters into his heart, into our hearts, but by God's Spirit. For who but God can give sight to the blind? Who but God can bring life to the dead? Who but God can heal the heart? But how does this healing come? How can death bring life? And why talk of death when we're supposed to be celebrating a birth? Perhaps our next hymn can help us understand. Let's stand and sing, "What Child Is This?" It is Jesus' death that gives meaning to his birth. It is, as he himself says, the reason why he came. His death brings us life because he faces death and the wrath of God against our sin in his own body on the tree. The Christmas tree that we decorate is simply a foreshadow of the tree of the cross, whose only decoration was his own body, and which was anything but beautiful. Yet in the cross, or rather in the body that hung on the cross, is our only hope in the face of death, in the face of life. And as he died for us, so we experience life as we live for him, putting to death everything in us that does not reflect the character of the God who saved us. But Jesus did not leave us to battle sin on our own. He gave us his Spirit to dwell in us, to help us to identify the sin in us, to dig it out of our lives by its roots, that we might overcome sin and live for him who saved us. And he gave us something else as well, a meal by which we can eat and drink the forgiveness that he offers. So join with me in preparing for this meal by confessing the sin that made Jesus' death necessary. Let us pray together. Most merciful God, we confess that we cannot free ourselves from the sin that entangles us. We have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. True repentance is more than a prayer uttered during worship on a Sunday morning or a Thursday evening. It's the dedication of a heart devoted to living in fellowship with God. If that is the spirit in which you made this confession, then hear the word that God has for you, his gift for you this evening. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. For his sake, in keeping with his promise, God forgives the sins of those who confess from the heart. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Let us confess our faith in this wonderful, gracious God through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would the communion ushers please come forward? The body of Christ given for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you with his grace and keep you unto eternal life as he has promised. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you gave your Son as both a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to delight in his presence within us through your Spirit. And through that same Spirit, help us to live lives worthy of the gospel. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Do you remember the words that I said at the end of what we call the words of institution, right before the Lord's Prayer? I don't say it every time we have communion. I added it tonight for a special reason. I quoted from the Apostle Paul rather than quoting from the Gospels where the story of the First Communion is recorded. Paul also gives us a version of that First Communion meal, and he closes it with these words, "For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Until he comes. Death is not the last word. The message of Christmas, as well as the meal of communion we have shared, breaks the bonds of death and gives us a taste, just a taste, of the life that is to come. Does that taste of life make you hunger for more? To understand the meaning of Christmas, we must do all three. We must proclaim his birth. We must proclaim his death. We must proclaim his soon return.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Did you hear the words of Gabriel the angel? "And the Lord will give your son the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. He will one day rule over Israel from a throne in Jerusalem. Yet already he sits on high, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. His kingdom is not of this world, as he himself told Pilate, but one day it will be. For now he reigns in heaven as king, and we are citizens of that heavenly kingdom, living here on earth, but not making our home here on earth. Living, as the scripture says, as aliens and ambassadors of a better kingdom. Aliens in this world, but as scripture reminds us, by God's grace, no longer aliens and strangers to God. As one of the most ancient and one of the most beautiful Christian hymns expresses, Jesus was ruling in heaven ere he ever came to Bethlehem. Now that he is risen, he reigns once more at God's right hand, waiting for the sign from the Father to come and claim his own. Let us sing that hymn now, "We who of the Father's love have been begotten." Please rise.
Of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be, he is Alpha and Omega, he the source, the ending, he of the things that are, that have been, and that future years shall see, evermore and evermore. evermore and evermore.
Please remain standing for the remainder of the service. Evermore and evermore. Evermore in the past to all eternity. Evermore to come to all eternity. He left the light of heaven and entered the darkness of this world. And while he lived here, the light shone for those to see who could. Now the source of that light is shrouded once more, but a glimmer of it shines in those who come to the light, who find their life in him. Yet even as Jesus once came into a world lost in darkness, so when he returns, the world will still be in darkness, not because the world has not seen the light, but because it has rejected the light that God has given through Jesus and through those who throughout the ages have managed to see him and to know him in the midst of all the religious and the secular trappings that accompany the message. For only God can heal us of our darkness, and only through Christ is the veil removed. As Jesus warned us last Sunday, be sure that the light in you is the true light that has come into this world and not some lifeless substitute. At this time, I'd like to ask the candlelighters to please come forward. And I would remind you, just as I am doing here, that when you go to light your candle, you tip the unlighted candle into the flame of the upright lit candle. That's an ominous sign. And it goes to show how easily the light gets extinguished in this world of sin. And why we must always be careful with that light, to tend it and to help it to grow. We do that through the reading of Scripture, and through sharing our faith with one another and praising God in the congregation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were made through him. Without him, not one thing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it. There was a man sent from John, from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He bore the light, and he came to bear witness to the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Let us sing together, Silent Night. Father in heaven, every year on this December night, people around the world take time out of busy holiday plans to contemplate the reason we celebrate. On this night, we honor the birth of a child named Jesus, whom we call the Christ. We wonder why you wanted him to be born in a cattle stall. Isn't that a strange place for a king to be born? Stranger still that your Son, partaker with you in divine power and glory, would lay aside his splendor and become a man at all. Even Solomon in all his splendor pales next to the glory that Jesus left behind to be born in Bethlehem. His coming was like the rising of the morning star in the darkest night, leading the way to peace and joy. Help us to let this morning star shine brightly in our hearts, hiding nothing from its revealing light. Help us to let him share in our pains and our sadness, our fears and our disappointments, that he may turn us from the darkness of sin and enable us to be bearers of light and hope in the lives of those around us. For peace cannot come to the world until it has first stilled the war within our hearts. Thank you for the promise that is Jesus Christ and for the hope he brings to us all. In his precious name we pray. Amen. As you extinguish your candles and the lights rise in the sanctuary, hear the words first spoken 700 years before Jesus' birth. Words that reveal not only the coming of Jesus in Bethlehem, but also his coming again in power and great glory. A coming we will all be part of. We who see in him the full meaning of Christmas and of life itself. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, God brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the northernmost tribes of Israel. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. Even the Gentiles are gathered in. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken, as in the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, evermore and evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Did you catch that? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish his word. That means he is eager to do it. He does not save us grudgingly. He does not bring us into his kingdom because he has to. No, it pleases him to give us the kingdom and to make us reign with him. He is our light and our life. We are his chosen, his sons and his daughters. Such news is worthy of a song of joy, a song of promise, a song of hope beyond the darkness of this world. Let's sing that song of joy in our closing hymn, Joy to the World. I'm sorry, but I can't help it. Thank you, David. Thank you, Bethany, for adding the gift of beautiful music to our service this evening. The good news of Christmas is that God has come to us. God has come to us. His coming is what Christmas is all about. He came, and because of what he did when he came, we can now come to him and find in him hope for tomorrow and strength for today. In the words of Menno Kalischer, the meaning of Christmas, of life itself, is found in a personal, loving relationship with Jesus Christ, the fullness of God in human form. Anyone who sincerely desires to know the Messiah need only pray that the Spirit of God would open his or her heart to acknowledge their sinfulness and accept that Jesus has come as Savior to atone for your sins. Only the Spirit of God can change your life. You can't change it by yourself. Only the Spirit of God can enable you to receive this forgiveness and to live in submission and fellowship with him. Pray that prayer and God will answer, and he and all of heaven will rejoice that the prayer was made. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and Merry Christmas.
Wow, they were close.
They were really, you know, worried.
stimulate babies when they're born. And Joe, you know, they had to keep him, but neonatal was there immediately.
Good.
And yeah.